When Jesus finished his work on earth and ascended into heaven, he passed the torch of evangelism to a rather unlikely group of disciples. Think about it. The task of spreading the gospel fell into the hands of a few ordinary men. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that the same commission given to the disciples is our responsibility as well. Our primary text is Matthew chapter 28. And in the event you missed Thursday's program, we'll begin with a thorough summary of yesterday's message, in which we're talking about our commitment to Christ's commission.
Do you share the message? Do you know that that is the responsibility of every child of God? Do you know that you have been commissioned? Oh, I'm not talking about ministry in the formal sense or vocational Christian service. I know a very, very small segment of humanity falls into that category. Jesus did not commission us to become clergy. He did not commission us to carry our pastor with us wherever we went so that he might share the news. He commissioned you and me individually with the plan that has never been replaced with another method or message. It's one person telling another how to find bread, how to locate pure water that will satisfy forever. Tucked away at the very end of Matthew's gospel is what is commonly called the Great Commission. What's a commission? Authority to act for or in the place of another. A commission is a task entrusted to one as an agent for another, or it is a group of persons who have been directed to perform some duty. That's pretty much the lengthy definition we can find in today's dictionary. It's his commission to his people. I find three or four observations about these final five verses that, to me, live on. They're timeless, just as they are true. The first observation I notice is that Jesus talked to very ordinary people who knew him personally. We read in verse 16, they are called the 11 disciples. That tells you that one is missing. The one missing was the brightest of the group, the only Judean. The rest were what they called in those days ignorant, passionate Galileans. The bright one is the one who could count. He held the money bag. His name was Judas. But of course, he was the one who defected. So it isn't brightness that's needed, though there's nothing wrong with a high intellect. Nothing to be criticized about a great education. But he didn't speak these words to highly educated individuals. He spoke to his followers. The word disciple means learner. There wasn't a superstar celebrity among them. None of them would be what we would call clergy today. They're just common, ordinary, garden variety men and women like you and me, these followers of Jesus. These are people who knew him personally, just as you and I know him. Had we lived back then, hard as it may be to accept this, he could have chosen any one of us. Robert Coleman calls each of the disciples a rather ragged aggregation of souls. You wouldn't have hired any of them to be a part of your employment. They aren't impressive. They're just witnesses. They're just folks. The second thing I notice about this passage is that Jesus presented a game plan that's simple and clear. Oh, by the way, when they saw him, I appreciate the mixed response. Verse 17, they worshiped, but some of them were doubtful. Can you believe it? After 3.5 years, after a resurrection, after a long list of miracles, after remarkable changed lives that have happened around them, there are some at the very end standing on the mountain before his ascension saying, I'm not really sure about all this. I'm not really sure. But I love it that Jesus doesn't say, there's the door, get out. He says to them, come here, come here. I've got a plan that you can carry out. All authority has been given to me. Notice it wasn't in them. It isn't in you or me. We are not people of authority. We have a message that is authoritative. We have a Savior who is the authority. We, clay pots, broken vessels, simple channels, through whom the message is to flow. Remember, the plan is a very simple one. There won't be some heavenly breakthrough where 10 million angels suddenly blow trumpets and announce to the universe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's not the plan. There's no magic kit that Jesus hands out saying, do that, impress people. There's no powerful wand to wave over a group. There's one life touching another life, winning that soul for Christ, who in turn touches others, who in turn touches others. And you're a part of the relay, and the gospel is the baton. You were given the baton when you were led to Christ, so was I. And it's so simple what the plan is. What is that? Verse 19, go make disciples, baptizing and teaching them. Oh, I know there are some ellipses in there, but the heart of it is a main verb, make disciples. The main verb isn't to go. The main verb isn't to baptize. The main verb isn't even to teach. It's make disciples. In other words, duplicate what you are. You're a disciple. Talk to other people about becoming disciples. Lead them to a knowledge of me and encourage them to grow, which will involve going and baptizing and teaching. These words weren't given to a church body. These words were given to a group of individuals who were still doubting, but also worshiping. It's a simple game plan. He said, make disciples. It'll require going. It'll require their becoming my followers, being baptized, and it'll involve their growing up, being taught. Do all the above. Pretty simple. Even I can understand it. And by the way, his scope is limitless. Maybe we read it earlier so quickly we missed how often the word all appears. All authority, verse 18. So there's no one who cannot be touched and reached. All the things I've taught you, I'm always with you. I go with the authority of the good news, and I share it in a way that is winsome and interesting and understandable and decoded. And a person hears it, and bouncing it against the authenticity of my life or your life, comes to terms with whether or not they're going to receive it. But there's nothing to receive if we don't give it. That's our calling. That's your calling. That's my calling. You know, the third thing I observe, Jesus was intense about the mission, but he was relaxed about the method. Go therefore and make disciples. Never tells us how to do that. Doesn't tell us what format. Make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'm with you all the way to the end. But he never gives us a method. It's because he's relaxed about the method. Methods change. They're full of variety. It doesn't matter what the method is. It doesn't matter. And frankly, he doesn't care. If it's effective, it's getting the good news out across the street, across the states, and across the seas. That's our commission. We're committed to that. We exist as a church with that as the pulsing heartbeat of our existence. It's to make sure that as many as surround this area and as far as we can reach realistically will hear that Christ came and died and paid the complete penalty for the sins of the world and was miraculously and bodily raised from the dead and still lives to give his life, his eternal life, to those who will believe. You have no idea how many within driving distance have never heard that message one time in their life. You and I have heard it since we were in the crib. They've never heard it. And they're not particular. I mean, the starvation level is beyond belief. No wonder we would want to have a church that would seat more. It's not about a big church. It's about making sure those who would really like to hear could be under the sound of the gospel where someone will tell them. How great is that? How big does that have to be? It's never going to be big enough. It'll be as big as we can afford. We'll have to stop there. And then when we get really committed to this commission, then our ranks enlarge and we are out there doing the work of evangelism. I love what I read in the parking lot of a church I preached in a number of years ago. As you drive out of the parking lot, there's a sign that says, "Welcome to the mission world. Welcome to the mission field. Welcome to the real world." You're leaving the hothouse. You're entering the real world. That's where you drive home to. That's that fellow two doors down you've never met. That's the person over the 8-foot fence behind your home. That's the people who are on Christ's heart. Never doubt it. We teach with great passion the truths of the Scriptures. We are committed to building up the saints for the work of ministry. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. The most thrilling thing we do is to lead another soul to Jesus. The most exciting thing about this ministry. And you come to a commission like this and you think, we're right on target. He says it to ordinary people. He has a game plan that's very, very clear and obvious. He's intense about the mission, but he's relaxed about the method. There's one more thing I'll notice. His commission requires action. Never once does he say, "And now memorize the Great Commission," even though most of us have. "And now do a Bible study on Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And now let's have a discussion on the Great Commission." Now, I'll give you two monosyllabic, I read that the other day, two monosyllabic words: do it. Do it. As one of my mentors used to say, you cannot take the go out of the gospel. Do it. Say, well, I'm not sure that that's really what this is all about. Well, really, let me give you some examples. We have all bought a car. We don't buy a car to look at it, unless we're a weird collector. Most people buy cars to drive. We invest in ski equipment to ski. Cynthia and I invested in ski equipment to fall. We were learning to ski at this wonderful slope in Colorado when our children were skiing all around us 4 or 5 days. We were perfecting the fall. And we had great gear, so we fell on softer garments than most people. We get a good education to do what? To have a job, to better our career. We purchase a home to live in it. We fix a meal to eat it. We purchase clothing to wear it. We build a pool to swim in it. We choose a book off the shelf to read it. We do this all the time. We get a commission to study it. There's something wrong there. We receive the commission to have that commission shape our lives with an endless passion for sharing the good news. Never doubt it. David Livingstone is a name now legendary among missionaries of the past. Interested in reading recently that when he asked what sustained him all those years in the continent of Africa. Through all the perils of his pilgrimage, he answered by quoting the Great Commission. When his beloved wife died beside him in Africa, he helped prepare her body for burial. When she had no coffin, he cut the wood and built a coffin with his own hands. When at the gravesite, he helped lower her coffin and body into the grave, he personally covered it with dirt with a shovel in his own hand. When his task was completed, there was silence, and through tears, he opened his Bible and read the text of Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He closed his Bible and said through tears, Jesus Christ is too much of a gentleman not to keep his word. Let us get on with the task. Every one of us has some heartache that could anchor us to it, some grief, some loss to live through, some broken experience, some excuse. Every one of us. I have a handful if you've run out. We all have a whole list of reasons to keep us from doing the most basic responsibility of the Christian, and that's to share the message across the street, across the states, and across the seas. And I suggest that for the balance of our endurance on this earth, we get on with the task. I was amazed once again at how God uses things that we never think of His using in that way. Following our first morning service today, I was stopped by a couple down here. I'd never met them before. She had tears, and he was smiling and probably knew what she was going to say. And if I can put it in my words, I can't quite remember hers. She said something like, see this man? It's my husband. I met him, she said. A few years ago, he hated you. Really? How do you do? It's so great. He said, even worse, he hated your radio program. And I listened to it. He told me, turn it off. And so I turned it off. And when he'd leave, I'd turn it back on again. And he said to me, he said, let me tell the rest. And he said, I was in my car. I was driving to work. And I turned you on. And I pulled over the side of the road. I couldn't keep driving. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior. He named how many years ago it was. He said, I just want you to know first, I don't hate you anymore. I said, that's okay. That's all right. But he said, I'll tell you what. I love the message. It's a good lesson to learn. Dump the messenger. Stay with the message. Don't get all caught up in the messenger. We're all flawed. We're all just human people. Don't make a saint out of the apostles. Don't put your pastor on a pedestal. But stay at the task of the message. Stay at it. Stay at it. Some of the closest contacts you have never heard you share with them the good news of Christ. In this year, tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Let's bow together. If you happen to be hearing this message today, wherever you may be in your life, it's really a message of hope and forgiveness and love and assurance. It's all the personal dreams you've ever had for life come true. And all of them come through the person of Jesus. Not coming to church, not promising to give up certain habits, not suddenly starting to do something you've never done before. No, it's none of that. It's Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's through him you'll come to know God, believing in him, accepting the fact that he paid the penalty you deserve. He took care of the payment in full, leaving you with nothing but the space to believe. So believe it. Believe in him. And tell us so we can help you by teaching and baptizing and helping you know how to share it with someone else. In this quiet moment, our Father, we thank you for giving us a commission that's understandable and attainable. Thank you for your Son who modeled it for only 33 years before his own people and the Romans around them killed him. But thank you that death was effective and paved the way for us to know life eternal. Thank you for the joy of sharing Christ. May we do so with greater enthusiasm and consistency and joy. And may your Spirit give the power we need to speak openly and winsomely and lovingly. But may we speak, for there's little loving about silence. So open our lips. Give us the courage to share the good news until we see you personally. I ask it in the name of Jesus, who gave us the commission. Everyone said, Amen.
Today, Chuck Swindoll has challenged us to consider our commitment to Christ's commission. You're listening to Insight for Living and message number 2 in a 4-part mini-series called Mission Possible. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Yes, we believe the Great Commission of Jesus, while overwhelming, is entirely possible. It's not an untenable plan, especially when we link arms and approach it together. And as we celebrate our 40th anniversary as a ministry, we're looking forward, not backward, on this goal of reaching every country of the world. It starts right here at home and extends beyond our own borders. In order to reach more people and to make disciples of all the nations, we're relying on friends like you to join us. Your regular giving is what fuels Insight for Living into the future. So please get in touch today and let us know that you're on the team. We can assure you, your support will make an impact. For instance, recently someone left a comment on our Facebook page that said, Over 35 years ago, I was driving to my classes at the University of Washington in Seattle. I was listening to my radio and heard a man talking about the Bible like it was a book that was written that day. I was mesmerized. It would take too long to explain, but let it suffice to say that Insight for Living revolutionized my life and has given me the spiritual fortitude to go through some really dark days, and many happy ones, too. Well, this is what motivates us to continue providing Chuck's teaching, not only here at home, but around the world. You can play a significant role by giving a donation. Chuck?
Thanks, Dave. In recent days, my spirit has been lifted by the timeless words of Jesus, where he said, What is impossible for people is possible with God. Luke 18:27 in the New Living Translation. At Insight for Living Ministries, we've encountered a season of limited supply. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The contributions we normally count on during the summer months have not arrived. From my limited human perspective, our financial predicament appears to stand in the way of fulfilling our mandate. And our mission given by Jesus is to go and make disciples of all the nations. Well, let's be clear. God is not wringing his hands in the heavens. He's not wiping the sweat from his brow, worried about our predicament. Remember, he's the God of impossibilities. And in these critical moments, he always calls upon men and women of God to participate in the process by giving generously to meet the need. So please, listen to the Lord's prompting. Let God's Spirit guide you on the amount you are to give. And as He leads you, respond now, because the need is urgent. Thanks so much.
If you're listening in the United States, here's the number to call, 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give a generous donation online at insight.org. Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Chuck Swindoll continues his new series on the Great Commission of Jesus, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Our Commitment to Christ's Commission, was copyrighted in 2006 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.